Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all of our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies on the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Height.
And I'm Chelsea Duff.
Ack, ack, ack. Ack, 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 ack. Ack, 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 ack. Ack, ack, ack.
Incredible.
You guys get that? You guys got that, right?
You get it?
I got it.
I understood. Love all of you. I want to be friends.
I come in peace.
Secret coded message here of violence. Yeah.
And this week we're doing Mars Attack.
That was brilliant.
Did you wonder why that was happening? That was why that was happening.
That's the language of the Martians. In case you didn't know, embarrassing
for
you.
Banger opening, Sydney.
Here's the thing. Instead of practicing my transatlantic accent, I have just been walking around the house.
She can do an accent, but it's Martian. Yeah.
My poor animals have been over me all day long.
They're loving it, actually.
They love it.
Yeah, I think they're really digging it.
Pickle came to the call.
Pickle just came when called. Yeah, I mean, look. You said, ack, ack, ack. Pickle came running.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Okay, so Mars Attacks is, it's a Tim Burton, like, kind of flop a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this was a Tim Burton flop. It made money, but like not in the States. And everybody was like, what is this?
They have no taste, it seems.
It's a masterpiece.
That's so sad to hear.
That's what it is.
It's a goddamn masterpiece.
Well, I think people were like, this doesn't give Tim Burton at all, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I see that. He doesn't go funny in quite this way usually, and Johnny Depp is nowhere to be seen, so everyone must have been so confused.
And there's a lot of color and brightness, like it's not dark, it's not gothic, it's not,
no one's gaunt, not one person looked particularly gaunt, so that must have thrown them off.
I mean, the aliens look a little gaunt,
a little, but they're just a big brain on a skull, so that's part of it.
Big brain. All right, so if you, darling listener, haven't seen Mars Attack, 1996, the tagline is honestly really good, and it's Earth is invaded by Martians with unbeatable weapons and a cruel sense of humor.
So good.
There's another, like, tagline, not just, like, their plot line, and it says, nice planet, we'll take it. And that's what's on the poster, so that's fun, too.
I really like that.
Love on the poster that it's the Sarah Jessica Parker dog.
That is the most memorable part of the movie for me. That's really the main thing that got stored away in long-term memory.
I'm like,
same.
How do I...
That love affair really stuck with me between her and Pierce Brosnan.
How do I do that for Halloween? How do I be Sarah Jessica Parker head on Chihuahua body?
I bet you could figure it out, and it would be deeply upsetting.
Yeah, get like a little stuffed chihuahua and just like attach it under your chin and then wear like a black morph suit on the bottom.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's exactly it. That is so fucking funny. Oh my God. If you don't do that, I want to do that with Adam and just have Adam look exactly like he normally does, but wearing a black morph suit up to the top of his neck.
Yeah, and he could be Pierce Brosnan. Actually, that
exactly.
And he can just
hilarious.
Have, like, a heart dangling somewhere choker. Behind him on, like, a little fishing line.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be good. That would be really good. Wow. This is a brilliant idea.
Honestly, you and Adam can have that one, because it is, I think, of any...
Sounds labor-intensive.
Of the three of us, I think you would be the one to, like, genuinely commit to it and pull it off flawlessly. Execution.
She'll
10
buy
out of 10.
Wig.
Wow.
Oh, and
so
she
much.
Would buy another wig.
Oh yeah, of course. Gotta grow the wig collection.
But Adam also
very important
gives big Pierce Brosnan vibes.
That's so nice of you to say about the boyfriend of the pod. That's great for all of us. If he's giving Pierce Brosnan. I've also been saying his name Pierce Brosnan my entire life. And I just figured it out like now, because like, I don't know, no one's ever corrected me. I don't think you can really tell if you're saying it real fast. And I do talk about him all the time, so I'm shocked no one's brought it up. But yeah, it's very uncomfortable for me to say it correctly, but I'm making a real valiant effort
here.
You're
being so brave.
Thank you.
Okay, but also, Monica, another one of your besties is in this movie.
Jack Nicholson my bestie?
Martin Short.
Dude, Martin Short in this movie remind me of a person that I know in real life. And so this was a very jarring, I can't say who it is.
I cannot say.
But it was a very, I was like, oh God, this is sticking too close to home for me right now. But he was once a handsome youth. He's still handsome now. But like
handsome youth.
He's like a cute little skis ball. Look at him. 1996.
I did mention before we started recording, I didn't get a chance to read too much through IMDb trivia, but I said I had a piece of trivia already in my head. I just discovered another one when I was glancing at the Wikipedia page, so I'll save that one for later. But one very important piece of trivia that has to do with Martin Short's performance in this movie is the scene where he brings sexy Lisa Marie Presley alien inside because he loves
no, it's not Lisa
is oh who is it
it's, I think it's Tim Burton's wife Lisa Marie
yeah it's just
oh
Marie.
I saw
yeah,
Lisa I think Marie I... and I just went I assume Presley what
I assume there's
that only
too.
One Lisa Marie in the world
yeah she just goes by Lisa Marie she doesn't even need a last name but
well, that
I guess she
why
does because we're
Carter
confused
here either because he was still married to his first wife. Yeah. I don't know if she's number one. I don't know enough to really say what number she is. Anyway, Lisa Marie, not Presley, alien. She comes in and they have that exchange when he brings her into the Kennedy room of the White House and they're looking at each other through the fish tank. Very almost romantic, alluring. Came out just 1 month after 1996's Romeo and Juliet, where they also had the fish tank
I was gonna
gaze through moment.
That was so Romeo and Juliet. They came out like right back to back. That's
back
so
to
crazy.
Back, 1 month apart.
That's so fucking funny. That's so funny. Wow. That is a weird fucking coincidence.
Right? Because it's obviously not in the original Romeo and Juliet text. So it's not like either movie. Well, maybe there is something that they're both referencing, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah. I don't know.
This movie came out either right after Independence Day, another alien.
Oh my
movie.
God.
No way. This I was thinking about Independence Day the whole time. I was like, God, we gotta do Independence Day. Except it's 2.5 hours long or something fucking egregious like that. It's so fucking long. It's like Oppenheimer length. And even I, a great lover of Independence Day, got super fucking bored in the middle of it last time. It's like there's only so much 90s Will Smith that I can even take that will get me excited still. You know what I mean? Like there is a limit.
Pullman.
I know that's true. Thank God. Thank God for President Bill Pullman. Thank God for President Jack Nicholson. Also, I've seen this movie at least 3 times now, maybe 4 times. I only this watch realized that the Vegas guy is also Jack Nicholson. I was watching it and I was like, that guy sounds
no
exactly like
either.
Jack Nicholson. Who
yes.
is that?
I recognized him. The scene when he's like in the limo in the red Western outfit, I was like, is that also Jack Nicholson? But then I kept waiting for it to be plot relevant because I didn't remember the plot of this movie. I only remembered Sarah Jessica Parker head on Tiny Dog Body. And then it never was part of the film.
No.
And I was like, I thought for sure the president
just a
was
joke
get
for
assassinated.
Us.
They were going to swap him out at some point.
No, it's just a joke for us, the viewer at home. Because I recognized his voice immediately. And I was like, that's so weird. He sounds exactly like Jack Nicholson. And Adam was like, that is Jack Nicholson. And I was like, no, it's no.
Why
would
it be?
Yes, it is. And I was like, fuck. Well, of course it is. They would do something that fucking stupid. They would put a prosthetic nose on Jack Nicholson and have him play 2 different characters, one being the president in Mars Attacks of all movies. Like, come on. It makes sense, actually.
I think it was the It had to have been the 1997 Oscars. I think Billy Crystal like specifically called out Jack Nicholson about like forgetting about Mars Attacks. Like, don't you wish you could forget about Mars Attacks?
Oh, well no.
Why wouldn't
I don't
he
wish
be
that.
Proud of his work?
I would never wish that. This is
apparently this is when IMDb trivia. He signed on for this movie because he had worked with Tim Burton before on Batman, and he wanted to work with him again. And I don't know at what point he agreed to do two roles, but he must have really been enthused, you'd imagine.
Tim Burton's Batman movie slapped so fucking hard.
It is
there more
really
than
bad.
One? I think it's just the one. All the 90s Batman movies slapped so hard.
That was
so.
1989, actually.
Oh, really? Okay, well, late 80s, early 90s Batman movies aren't disappeared.
Yeah.
Batman movies.
All the campy Batman movies, because like the Batman TV show was very campy as well. Also, speaking of Johnny Depp and Tim Burton, Johnny Depp apparently turned down the role of Michael J. Fox's character.
Well, Michael J. Fox did a great job.
This is apparently one of his last movies that he did before he like completely switched to like TV.
TV only.
Oh, really? He was great in this. He was super fucking annoying. He did a great job of being obnoxious and annoying, and you don't like him very much, but still handsome. Always handsome.
But then
good
he dragged
him.
His way to her after during the attack.
That's
he dragged
true,
his way over to Natalie, but he did spurn her a little earlier in that scene.
Yeah, that does nothing for me because he didn't respect her art.
True.
He didn't
love that she had
a fashion show.
Oh, he didn't appreciate that she had on a shiny silver chrome dress with a shiny silver chrome matching two piece on underneath,
which
it.
Is
Lady
Erica,
Gaga at the Met Gala style.
I have to be right back.
2000s. The
have
turn
to be right
of the
back
millennium.
She's the millennium alien. Is that what she's? What's she going to do?
Sarah,
do you think?
Her and Sarah Jessica Parker have the same sunglasses on.
Twins.
Now we know where Monica's inspiration came from, but TBH, we know Monica's parents did not let her watch this movie at the time.
Maybe Monica's mom snuck away and watched it and went, that lady is fabulous.
You're like, she's like, Sarah Jessica Parker can do no wrong.
I did watch this when I was a kid. This one I did watch, but I don't think I saw all of it, but I remember the Sarah Jessica Parker part, and I remember being freaked out by the whole thing. So I don't know if I was like a 90s kid, but I saw it as a youth. I'm still looking for my prop, so continue on with your conversation.
Okay, let me see if I have any other good trivia in the meantime. About the ack. Apparently, that was just what they were putting in the script at first when they were writing it as like a placeholder, because they were like, we have to figure out the language later. We're going to have to do that. And then they were like, actually, ack slays. We're just going to stick with ack.
I love
another
it.
Tim Burton little piece of trivia. They shoot them with the ray guns, and then their skeletons are red or green, like underneath after everything else has been disintegrated. In part because this movie was released around Christmas, and it is Christmas colors. But in part because there's a scene in Tim Burton's Beetlejuice where you can see red and green skeletons, and they're like in some scene with Barbara and Adam in Juno's office, and there's other ghouls looking at the screen, blah, blah, blah. I don't really know what they're talking about off the top of my head, but it's one of his little things referencing himself, which is fun.
I love that. This movie is just so fun and so, like, not serious that it's the best, like, and it knows it's not taking itself serious. That's so
of course.
But, like, that's what makes it good. Like, who cares if the CGI is rancid and horrible? It's supposed to be. Wow.
She's back, folks. She's
I'm
got
back.
Her prop.
She's
Would
never
you like
looked
to
better.
Tell the people what it is, Monica?
Yeah. Okay, so I went downstairs first because for my 30th birthday this year, I made everybody try to dress more crazy as me as the theme. It was called Upstage the Birthday Girl. And so lawyer of the pod, best friend of the pod, Alex, who was on the Chicago episode, came as me, as my 2000s alien costume that has been on our Instagram before. And so she came and she had the glasses She had, like, just like Sarah Jessica Parker, those glasses, and she made her own 2000s headband. But I realized that that bag sat in my house for 6 months, and I actually did finally give it back to her, so couldn't find that. But I have the original headband. This is the original headband.
The original
wow. headband from the year 2000, my alien headband, and then these are just some random really ugly glasses that I have that are sort of alien-esque, and I'm going to take them off because wow. I look so ugly that I could throw up right now.
No, but please leave it on. I love it.
Maybe I'll put them on upside down, and that'll make me feel more alien-y. Yeah, it did.
Okay,
it made it way more alien. Yeah, I'm a costume queen. God, I can't believe I have to look like this for the rest
of love it.
It was just a partial slay before.
It was just a partial slay. Now it's an immediate slay. I also am wearing my flying saucer earrings. So, yeah. I already own those. I've been this bitch my whole life.
It truly has.
But yeah, I was loving all of the fun facts you were reading while I was destroying my own bathroom. But I have a fun fact as well. Because I was watching the beginning of this very intently because I left my phone in the bathroom and I couldn't find it for the entirety of the film. I recommend doing that, locking your phone in another room. So I really, really watched with my full attention. So I saw in the opening credits that it said that this was inspired by the Topps company. Like where the original IP came from. And so I was reading about what the fuck that was. And I'm so obsessed with this because there's apparently a Topps company and they released a lot of playing cards. And so they did a series or not playing cards, trading cards, like collecting cards, like baseball cards. But apparently back in the day, they had these things where you would just collect these cards and each card told the story. So you tried to collect them all. So then you put them in order and it tells a full story. Love that. Love that.
That is actually really fun.
That is what the children loved to do back in the day. I think this was in the 60s.
The 60s.
And so basically they had this one called, I think it was called, oh no, it was a story about a Martian invasion of Earth. It might've been called Mars Attacks, but it doesn't say here.
I think it was.
Okay, great. And it shows these gruesome images of Martians, like it's a similar story. They come to Earth and they fucking destroy shit. And it was fucking gruesome. And it was also weirdly sexually explicit. There was like a naked booby lady, like in a cage, in one of the pictures where a man is having his heart ripped out, like on a gurney Ooh. By the aliens.
I love
and the
that.
Aliens, the Martians look like fucking identical to the Martians in Mars Attacks. So like, they shouldn't change it. That's an incredible design for an alien. But yeah, apparently because they're so fucking graphic, like people were outraged because it was like the early 60s, you know?
Right.
And so they're like gonna release like some like tamer cards. But then they're like, you know what? We're just gonna stop completely. And they just never released any more of them ever again. So it was like this fucking niche ass thing from the early 60s, and Tim Burton's like had them or collected some of them when he was like a kid or younger and fucking loved them and wanted to do this movie. But he wasn't even the only one. Also, Alex Cox, who's best known for writing and directing the 84 cult film Repo Man, he wanted to do this movie so fucking bad. He wrote 3 different scripts for this movie and nobody wanted to fucking touch it, and so it never happened. But a weird thing from his script, because there's like a PDF of his original script that's like floating around. And one of it makes note that like there's a public relations company and has pictures of former presidents on the wall. So it says pictures of former presidents and it has Carter, Reagan, and Donald Trump. And so he predicted the future. Isn't that weird?
Does he now work for The Simpsons?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they need people in their future predicting department, I assume.
Yeah, also, it was crazy.
I think, like, there used to be cards called Dinosaur Attack.
Ooh,
that were, like, very similar to these, but instead of aliens, it was dinosaurs, like, brutally murdering people.
Images?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Same really company. Enjoying them.
Came out in the 80s.
That's what they were into.
I remember
Mars Attacks. It's a follow-up.
I remember my cousin having some of those.
Cool.
That's cool. I would be into this. One of my prized possessions is some X-Files trading cards that I got from the what's it called? Coin dispenser at Cha Cha Lounge. And I conned a man into buying for me. Important. He was like, "You want anything from this machine?" And I was like, "Yeah, the X-Files playing cards." And then he bought them for me. And then I said, "Thank you." And then I walked away.
And you're like, "Bah."
He did not insist upon a trade agreement ahead of time. No, he just said, "Do you want something?"
I signed nothing. Anyway, but yeah, I love that, like, you know, we're tired of, like, using old IP and just, like, making, you know, these tired, like, the Marvel movies. I'm tired of the Marvel movies. I'm sorry. Like, that kind of thing. But this is the type of IP, the niche IP that they should be making movies about. This random, weird, bizarre shit.
Yes. I would. Here's the thing. I would love a remake of this movie.
There's nothing wrong with using old IP as long as you have a fresh idea.
Exactly, yes. Like Barbie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly like Barbie, because they also did the Mount Rushmore thing in this movie, too.
Yeah. Oh my God. So fucking funny.
That was so good.
Oh, my God. I just, yeah, it's just so, this movie is so timely. I just love the way everything looks in this movie. Also, I don't know, did you guys see Asteroid City, the new Wes Anderson movie?
I haven't yet.
Not yet.
Oh, my God. It fully... He watched this movie. Like, there's a lot of similar vibes. You know, it's obviously Wes Andersonized. And it's a great film. It's like, I need to watch it again. There's a lot going on. But, yeah, there's definitely, like, something. There's a conversation between Mars Attacks and Asteroid City. I think it's the desert alien flying saucer of it all that's, like, a thing in both. I just love the way that they immediately set up that nothing is to be taken seriously in this entire movie. It's brilliant from moment one. Like, well, okay, there is some racially charged statements in moment one. But besides that part, the fucking, like, running barbecue of burning cows.
Really, yes, when they're like, what smells like barbecue? And then the herd of cows on fire goes by, which, like, where does that take place in the chronology of the movie, do we think?
They come by, they torch some cows, then they leave. I mean, right. you see the guys come down. And later on in the movie, when they're in one of the ships, when they have SJP and Professor Donald Kessler up there, you can see that they have already captured a cow. So maybe it was one of those cows.
Okay. Just an exploratory cow fire.
Yeah, they're like, just checking it out. I took it that
that's how we knew they were here. The flaming herd of cattle.
Okay.
That, yeah, alerted them to, like, look to the skies and realize we're surrounded on all sides by hundreds and thousands of perfectly shaped saucers.
Ideal.
The saucers are so interesting because they become so, like, they've become, like, one of these singular images in, like, alien iconography. And
yeah,
it's so, like, married to the idea of aliens in general these days. So much so that, like, that was so much of what Nope was. And when we saw it in the trailers, everybody was like, they're giving everything away! Because you could see it so clearly. But in this movie, it's a specific reference to a 1950s film, not The Blob, tragically, a movie that came a few years before The Blob called Earth versus the Flying Saucers. So I guess was kind of the film that, like, first started that imagery, maybe. Obviously, that imagery comes in part because that's what people say they've seen. But, like, the specific, like, look of it and design of it is very much, like, from that movie.
Mm, yeah. But the sheen of it felt like the big robot guy in The Day the Earth Stood Still. I don't know. It had that, like, classic silvery look alien to it. I don't know.
Chrome. Yeah. Alien, that's why I thought chrome. They took SJP at first, because she was all shiny just like them.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I just read this piece of trivia. I just read this piece of trivia that made me suicidal. Because I was just about to say how I love, like, usually I get so mad when they use CGI and they could have done practical effects. And like all the aliens are CGI in this movie, but I actually like the way that they look in them. Like, you know, obviously if they could have done it another way, that'd be super sick. But I love the way these aliens look. It was so funny. It kind of added to how they are alien because they're so obviously fake, you know, and you can kind of believe it because they're aliens. They can look like anything, you know, but I just found out something terrible. We know Tim Burton. We know Tim. He loves some fucking claymation. He loves some claymation. Night Before Christmas, Corpse Bride, Frankenweenie. Half of those hadn't come out yet, but it's fine. So he wanted to do something like that for the aliens in this movie and like be reminiscent of some of the work from like sci-fi and fantasy films in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And yeah, he wanted to pay homage in particular to Ray Harryhausen. I don't know who that is, but I love his name. But unfortunately, goddamn fucking Warner Brothers decided to slash the budget of this project and wanted, I think they wanted $100 million to do the film and the studio capped them at $75 million. And so because of that, they had to cut the claymation and they did the CGI Martians instead.
Sad.
Doesn't that suck?
That does not suck.
They would have had stop motion. Fucking, oh, that would have been so cool. Man, but this did still look really fun. I don't know. It worked for me. What did you guys feel about it?
I thought when I also saw that on the Wikipedia page and I was like, damn, that would have slayed. But for what it is, for what they had available to them, I think it's perfectly fun and like silly. And this movie isn't trying to be too serious, so they don't need to look like realistic. You know what I mean? We're turning people into red and green skeletons. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be.
Right, we're having the best time out here.
Authentic. Yeah. We're just being silly. Not too goofy, which is what I was really worried this movie was going to be. I thought it was going to be too goofy for me. Because actually, sometimes, this might be a shock to hear, I don't like goofy. But I thought they struck like a really nice balance of like silly and fun, while also not just like spending so long laughing at their own jokes.
Yeah, it was, like, smart, dumb jokes. Like, all the little, I don't know, there were just, like, little things happening that, like, I loved. Like, I loved when Pam Grier's kids, like, because they play video games all the time, I know I'm jumping all around, but they, like, picked up the gun and they immediately knew how to protect the president and they could do it better than the Secret Service. Like, I don't know, I just, they're little, like, tiny jokes that they made and like comic settings. I don't know. I thought they were smart. I was like, yes, those kids know the best. And they're the only reason the president survived that long. So good. Also, Pam Grier, hot woman. So happy to see her in this. She's so amazing. And also, oh, what was her husband's name?
Byron Williams.
Byron. Yes. He is Byron so good in this too.
Williams, heavyweight champion of the world.
He's so good. Jim Brown is his real name and also a very handsome man who can not be killed. He's incredible.
Punch out those aliens, crack their helmets open so they're vulnerable to the atmosphere. They don't have that nitrogen heavy chewing gum on them. They only have that for their little disguise, their Lisa Marie disguise. That's so funny that I just automatically was like, Lisa Marie Presley.
I did the exact same thing because somebody referenced.
There's only one.
Well, yeah, there could only be one. This last week, I was like, "Oh yeah, it's Lisa Marie Presley." It is not. It is not. It's not.
What are you gonna
decidedly
do?
Decidedly no.
In fact, a lie.
You know what's crazy? That Jack Black is in this movie for 5 seconds.
I am obsessed with him in this movie. I have a friend that I was just hanging out with over the weekend. And when he does like a country accent, which he does all the time. And I was at a rodeo with him over the weekend. His voice, it's exactly Jack Black. It's exactly Jack Black's voice in this movie. It scared me. I was like, Jackson? It was so weird. But yeah, he's in it for 5 seconds and he really makes an impact. He really does.
He does. Especially just because, like, we see him, he's talking to his family, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, sure, young soldier going off to war, whatever. It's only when he, like, stepped on the bus and turned around and saluted that I was like, oh my God, that's Jack Black? Like, Jack Black is here?
My only issue with the whole, like, Kansas you know, poor people is that they have Southern
accents.
It
was Nevada.
Well, Nevada. They have Southern accents.
No, they're all over. That's part of what's confusing about this movie is that
no,
they,
like Jack are they Black. In Kansas?
Yeah, Jack Black
yeah,
family's
Jack
in
Black,
Kansas.
He went to
But he dies
Nevada.
In Nevada.
Yeah.
Sorry, sorry, my bad.
His family in their trailers lives in Kansas or Kentucky.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm so sorry I said
Kansas. I think Kansas, but then I was like, is the cow attack in Kansas? And then there's some, that family is somewhere else in a different K-State. And then I just couldn't remember. And then I was like, I just, whatever. I can't keep track.
Well,
I'm no.
Just because they live in a trailer park does not make them Southern. Okay.
That's
yeah.
true. It's a stereotype. They do a lot of stereotype stuff here. Did anybody notice that like not chill trans joke that's in there for 5 seconds?
I'm not sure.
It happens.
Now, yeah, now
it
I
happens.
Don't know. They talked about genitals and they talked about how there's something about do the Martians have two sexes like we do? But that
yes,
also just
that
felt
was the
like...
part. That was the part. That was the part. That was what that was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a person who was like non-gender conforming and looking and sounding, asking, oh, do they have just two genders like we do? And then the president and everyone is silent. They're like, they don't know what to say because they don't know what to make of them. That's what that was supposed to be.
Well, they flopped it because I couldn't tell that that was the joke or that they were making fun of anybody. I just thought they were obsessed with whether or not they could bang the aliens.
No, I think, yeah, I think that
like
that
all
was what
the TikTok
it was.
Girlies now.
Yeah, yeah, and like how later they're
I conferred
it
with
and
Adam.
Like, no genitals.
Yeah, I conferred with Adam. I was like, oh, they, of course they had to go for the low hanging fruit. And then he was like, yep, of course. It was 96.
It did make me 96? Think about that one time that somebody asked Joe Biden how many genders there are. And he was like, at least three. Are you kidding me, kid? Like, he's just like, so like, keep
at
it
least.
Open. What are you asking me for? Yeah.
Three at a minimum.
Which is right, scientifically. At least
is
an accurate answer.
I know.
That's actually only correct answer. Who knew?
Also, like, watching this movie just really made me wish that Galaxy Hotel in Las Vegas was a real thing.
I know.
I would only stay there. It was so cool looking. That miniature they made was fucking rad, and it was cool when it blew up. And also,
the inside of that room.
Also, talk about everybody who's ever made an alien movie watching this movie. Jordan Peele watched this movie because fucking Jack Nicholson as skeezy Vegas promoter man has on fucking Steven Yeun's suit. He has on
a
spaceship
suit.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, but it's a spaceship embroidered suit.
Oh.
Yeah.
A spaceship suit and a red Western suit. And then Jordan Peele went,
whoop. Well, it was a Western.
Wow.
No, it was
fortuitous little noise I made.
It was already a Western suit that he was wearing. It's the exact same style, as just bejeweled more. And obviously not exactly the same. But yeah, he's wearing it in the scene where he's having that meeting with all of the like international investors right when everything blows up. And they don't do a good shot of it. They just get the very top of the lapels. But I knew. Anyway, so I thought that was cool. Another one of the suits that I must break into, I don't know, Warner Brothers Studios vaults and steal.
He had a fabulous wardrobe in general in this film. There's a lot of fabulous costumes. Obviously, Sarah Jessica Parker looked incredible the entire time, both in her chrome outfit and in her like pink orangey outfit in the beginning.
Yes. And also, what's her name?
Barbara.
Well, Glenn Close. Glenn Close looked great, but also the first lady. But also the hippie lady.
Annette
Bening as Barbara.
Oh, that's Annette Bening. Sorry, I didn't know her name. She was so fucking funny in this movie.
Also,
so funny.
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman.
Little
I was
baby.
Like, what are you doing here? Yeah. So many people in my notes, I'm like, what are you doing here?
This is the ultimate all-star ensemble cast. Like, truly, this is the one. Like,
it's
forget
so
Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve or whatever the fuck those movies were. This is it. This is where it all began.
They really
did.
DeVito. That's actually such a funny comparison, though, because they really did do a good job of like showing all these people and their different ties and like how they relate to the different locations and like how they're looping together in each other's storylines.
Yeah, no, I think it was really well balanced. Yeah, it's a little confusing where they are. The only time I know where I am is obviously when I'm in D.C., but also when they're in Pahrump, Nevada, because Pahrump, Nevada is a very meaningful place to me. I have driven through Pahrump, Nevada on a road trip with Adam. We went on a cool road trip 1 year, and we went through Pahrump, and we were dying over the name Pahrump. We couldn't believe it.
That's exactly what I was just thinking, because it's a Christmas movie.
Okay, yeah, it's giving Pahrump-a-pump-pump, but it's a real place. And when we were driving through, I was trying to learn about Pahrump. And so, and sure. I was trying to, I don't know, we just got on this topic where we're like, let's listen to what the kids are listening to in Pahrump. And so I looked up Pahrump in Spotify and found some Spotify user named Pahrumpian Kid. And he had this like horrible mix. And so we listened to his horrible mix the whole time we were in the city. But they actually had like a legit reason to put it in Pahrump. And it was because that is where Coast to Coast is from. Y'all know about Coast to Coast?
Space Ghost, Coast to Coast?
Sounds no, like baby. A radio no, thing. Baby. It's the residence of Art Bell, who's an author and a radio show host. And he is known for his weird overnight radio show called Coast to Coast AM. Oh, it was syndicated to radio stations all that. Across the country, excuse me. And they did stuff about paranormal subjects, UFO sightings, other unexplained phenomenon. I learned about it because I really like this one other podcast called Nocturne. And they only do episodes on things that happen in the night. So they did an episode on Coast to Coast, and I thought it was so much fun. So I've never actually listened to the show, but I've heard parts of it through that podcast. But yeah, that's like where, I don't know, it's like the UFO sighting of the world, because Art Bell, the guy from Coast to fucking Coast. So I thought that was really, really cool. And I didn't know that when I was in Pahrump myself. But yes, it is the heartbeat of the United States of America, Pahrump, Nevada.
I feel like they definitely did that. Not that they did that on purpose because of the alien sighting. I agree. Sorry, I'm not saying no. I'm saying it's so interesting that they did that for that reason and then had the radio plotline be so big in this movie at the end.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my God. Yeah. This, oh, fuck. I love this movie so much. I was, like, giddy. I was, like, talking to the TV. Like, that's how I was feeling. But, like, this movie, that song, is it too early to talk about the song? Might be too early to talk about the song.
A little too early.
It's too early. Pinning it. We've got other things to talk.
Just said Tom Jones was beautiful in his part.
Tom Jones was beautiful. Tom Jones is a hero and he's incredibly tan.
And he knows how to fly a plane. Wow.
Very important.
Wow. That's very important. We love that for him.
I don't know how to fly a plane.
I don't know how to fly a plane.
I need to know when Independence Day came out.
It came out July 3rd, 1996. And then this movie came out like December 14th or something.
It's like the
it's December the 13th, they're the, 1996.
They're the same fucking movies. Because I'm pretty sure like Will Smith is like trying to get back to like at least his girlfriend for like 99% of Independence Day 2. And that's a huge plot line in this.
And isn't there a first daughter in that movie that's also plot relevant? And I only really remember because then when they were doing the long-awaited sequel a few years ago, it was like, they didn't bring back the original actress and everybody talked about it, blah, blah, blah.
I don't recall well enough, but yes, I'm sure if there's a president, the first daughter had to be something.
Yeah, because who wants a first son?
Who Nobody. Wants a first no. Red, white, and royal blue?
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I hear. Wow,
shut her down.
Yeah, let me go.
I haven't read that yet, so
it's incredible. I literally cannot wait till that fucking movie. Oh my God. Wow. Okay, we can't go there.
Can't go down that tangent.
I love all the little stupid shit in this, but I particularly love that the hippie releasing the bird caused that whole fucking death brigade to start. They're gonna kill us anyway, but that was so fucking funny. He was like, yeah. They come in peace.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, obviously you're not really sure what the deal is yet at that point in the movie. But I just love that they have that, and then everybody's like, maybe it was their dove. Maybe the dove means war to them.
They're scared
let's
of birds.
Hold back. We're
Some
just
people
gonna
are
try.
Scared
yeah,
of birds.
No birds at
Some
the
people are
like,
scared of birds.
But it's okay. So funny that they come and they're like, we come in peace. Actually, bzz, 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 bzz. And then
like,
they're like, oopsie, so sorry. Oh my God, we got confused. Can we actually apologize to Congress in person? We promise nothing like that is going to happen again. That was an oopsie.
That was the funniest bit.
Oh my God. Also, here's the thing. Here's the biggest question of all. Who let America plan the whole thing? Why is America in charge of all of the world?
America's the number one superpower in the whole world, Monica. Don't you know
the
that?
Free world. Dear fucking God. Yeah, I was just like, Jack Nicholson as president was the least believable part of this movie because he looks so just innately evil to me. Like, I love the man. He's a great man. But does he not have resting evil face? Like,
he really gives
yes.
very sinister vibes at all times.
So
it's
it was kind of actually perfect
a liberal
casting.
President. But yeah. I mean, I guess he had to be because otherwise, like
all
the general was saying, if he was a
end.
Republican president also, he'd be going full nuclear right away. He wouldn't be holding off doing peace talks.
Yeah,
oh
but
my God,
the nuclear wouldn't have even affected them. They sucked up all the hydrogen and then made the cute little voices.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Also, the other general, I can't find his name on here. Oh, remember General Casey? He is so funny to me because he's just like so milquetoast. He says absolutely nothing the entire time. And then like he gets to greet the aliens and that little call he has with his wife where he's like, see, honey, I told you if I just stood in line and never spoke up, something good would happen. God
that
damn
was
it.
So funny.
So many great little things. And the way he dissolves is so perfect too. It's perfect. It's so good. And then when they get Paris, when they get France and
Maurice is on the phone.
He's
like, we did
Jack
peace
Nicholson.
Talks again. He said it was another oopsie. We are all good. And the aliens are just like, these bitches have never heard of lying. This is the earliest invasion, the easiest invasion we've ever done.
These aliens are just like, I love to lie. And honestly, they're just like
me. They love to do a little prank.
They love to wear like sexy little fits. They're giving gay. I'm sorry. They're all wearing red, shiny Speedos when they're not on planet Earth. And when they are on planet Earth and they're the king or queen of the aliens, I don't know, they're wearing sequence shawls or sequence floor-length cloaks. Are you kidding me?
Like
beautiful.
Crushed velvet robes, yeah.
Really stunning stuff. Really grandiose. Also, the fact that they put their finger on the pulse of what a woman who is human looks like with Lisa Marie. They're like, we have nailed this. No one will question this. They love a big beehive adjacent thing. They love flow. They love full. I don't even know what to call that style of dress. Gorgeous. It's chaste, but incredibly sexy all at once. Covers up the skin, but shows the curves.
And here's the thing. That thing was thangin'. She got like...
That thing was thangin'.
The way she moved was so funny.
She like,
every inch of this was choreographed so well.
It was so
good. This is what a human woman walks like when she's being sexy, right? And they were right.
They're right.
I think about that often. When I'm in heels and I'm trying to be sexy, I'm like, this is how a human woman would be sexy.
Whoosh,
this
whoosh.
Is how we all
She's got the princess hands always. I too do that. That is how I move about the world. It's giving. Yeah, she's got like Barbie hands the whole time. It's perfect. Oh, and she eats off his finger.
It's a Bones and All reference.
Oh yeah, it was a Bones and All reference. Who knew? Again, before their time.
Future predicting.
Future predicting. God, it's just Everyone is so incredible in this. I love the chemistry between Pierce Brosnan and Sarah Jessica Parker. They just...
Oh my God, they're feeling each other.
They're really feeling each other. I'm believing it. I'm picking up everything they're putting down. Also, I love Professor Donald Kessler's... I like saying his whole name. I love his optimism. He is so wrong, but I just love his optimism. He's like, they are an advanced species. There's no way that they would want to kill us. Like, not they might want to kill us. They want to kill us because we're so dangerous. That's why whenever aliens do really come over here, I mean, they were already here. But once they give us the time of day, they're going to kill us. I don't think they'll come in peace. They'll be like, this is a volatile, like, whole thing. They got fucking bombs. Yeah.
We're going to get to that in 2 weeks. Don't you worry.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. I can't wait. I finished the book. Anyway, it's a secret talk that you will understand in time, spookies. Talk.
Yeah.
Coded messages. All in due time. We'll tell you when you're older. How about that?
Oh, she just told you, God, Sydney, it's a secret.
Sydney, come on. Hopefully they're... I love the way the machine that, like, it's basically like Google Translate, but it's like the size of like 5 computers with right. The little spinny dials. I loved that. It was so, I misremembered too. And I thought that it was like misinterpreting everything that they said.
Yeah. I thought
and they were going to fix it. And then it was going to be like, yeah, we're here to kill you.
Yeah, we fucking but hate you.
They're just lying. They're just lying the whole time.
Kelsey, you have your hand up.
Yes, I have my hand raised. I'm waiting so patiently to be called on.
I just called on you.
Chelsea, yes.
Thank you. I referenced earlier this episode that I had another fun fact I was saving for later that I peeked on Wikipedia. And that fun fact is now relevant. It's that Roger L. Jackson, who is the voice of Ghostface in the Scream movies, does the voice of the translating machine in this movie.
Oh my God, and Scream also came out in 96.
This there is a go. Big year for him.
Wow.
This is a huge year. His star was rising.
Fame.
He loves to be off screen, but he loves to do a little voice.
Yeah, in case you thought this wasn't a horror movie, it now has legitimate horror
actors. It actually has fucking Ghostface in it, so everybody calm down.
So, relax.
It's a classic.
But I don't know. I think it's pretty horrifying. There are a lot of attacks that are happening.
Yeah.
You see so many skeletons. That's spooky. There's a mention of Nancy Reagan's chandelier, and then it crushes the first lady.
Nancy Reagan's chandelier. That's fun and scary. Or the Van Buren China.
They had a lot of fun with the White House aspect of this film.
They had a lot of fun with every fucking thing in this film. Can I talk about it now?
We can't take the president out this way. There's a tour coming through here.
Oh my God, that was so funny. They did that twice in the movie. I didn't understand. Like, there's this one scene earlier in the movie where Natalie Portman is walking around. She's trying to go do something. And they stop her and they say, oh, there's a tour coming through here. And then literally nothing happens. And I was like, that was the most pointless scene I've ever seen in my entire life. And it was like, they could have made it turn into something else, but it was just only there so they could set up that joke later. It was only there for that. And I'm like, you know what? Good for you. You wanted to do that joke really fucking bad and you made it happen, Tim Burton.
Committed to it. Yeah.
We love when they commit to the bit.
Oh, yeah. They weren't backing down. They're like, this is gonna slap. And it did. It did slap. Mm-hmm. Really. It didn't let me down at all.
Also, one of my favorite little shenanigans that these fun little alien guys do is, who is the singer that's in this?
Tom Jones.
Yes, Tom Jones. He's like singing and you see his back.
It's not unusual to be loved by
anyone. His like backup singers and dancers, and then like the lights go down and then it's just three little aliens like jiving around. They're like, they're just having the best time.
Mm-hmm. They also love that song because it is a universally loved song. I mean that all of the universe loves this song.
Yes, I agree. I think that's probably true.
It is true. It's definitely true. I can't believe they have two fucking absolute classic bangers in this movie. That song and my favorite song. Can you talk about it now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. One of my favorite characters in this entire movie is Grandma. I love her so much. She reminds me of a grandma figure in my life, so that's a big part of it. Also, if you look on IMDb, Sylvia Sidney, goddamn stunning queen. Hottest woman. Oh my God, look at her picture on IMDb and you will fall in love. It's just, she's got those beautiful big eyes and I love her in this. May she rest in peace.
This was her last movie.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
What a sweetheart. Yeah, she died in 99. But she was so funny in this. I think she was great. But I really, really loved...
Juno in Beetlejuice. Mm-hmm. That's another Tim Burton connection.
Oh, cool. That's so fun.
Sorry to interrupt.
Wait. Oh, no. It's okay. I'm now distracted by her IMDb, so I lost my train of thought. But I love her and I love her grandson. What is his name in this? Oh, Richie.
Richie. What a good boy. What a good grandma's boy.
I also read this book called Light from Uncommon Stars. And there is like an alien aspect of it and also a donut shop aspect of it. And those are the same aspect of it. And the donut shop has a big fucking giant donut on the top of it, just like this one does. Anyway, something inspired by Mars Attacks. How crazy this movie's influence. It is unbelievable. But like
also the IRL actor of Richie was in Leonardo DiCaprio's like 90s pussy what did they call him?
Oh, the pussy posse.
Yeah, the pussy posse. He was like a member. It was like him, Leonardo, and Tobey Maguire.
You don't remember? Was that the pussy posse?
The pussy posse?
I have never heard of the pussy posse. What's the pussy posse?
They were just,
I love saying
poon.
It, pussy posse.
Yeah, they were like they're hot,
poon?
Young
Richie was
heartthrobs in the 90s, just like dicking off and slaying poon. So they called themselves the pussy posse.
They called themselves the Pussy Posse.
Oh, he was in Inception and The Revenant. He's really buddies. He's really part of the posse.
Yeah.
Wow. They go deep.
Here, Jesus I'm Christ. Sending you the unauthorized history of the Pussy Posse, Monica, so you can educate yourself on U.S. history.
Oh, he's in Righteous Gemstones, too. Oh, the new season, though. I haven't seen that yet. Great show. I love the resolution of this movie so much. It blows my fucking mind. It makes me so happy. And I can authentically say that Indian Love Call by Slim Whitman is one of my like top five favorite fucking songs. I love that song so fucking much. And I think that like I had watched this as a kid, and then Adam and I have like this like a Western playlist with like old timey Western movie music that we listen to all the time. And this one came on, it like sang to my soul. And I was like hungover from camping and I cried. It was a weird time. We were also at altitude driving around in the mountains. So I think that was a big part of it too. It's like when you're on the plane and you cry more easily. But anyway, I love this song so much. And then he reminded me it was from Mars. Yeah, that's a thing. It's a thing. It's a liminal space. You get more emotional. That's why I almost threw up watching a scene from 7 Pounds because I cried so hard on a plane. It was disturbing. Will Smith, once again, it comes back to Will. But the fact that this fucking yodel-ass song is the secret,
yes,
it's just the most brilliant move in all of cinema history. Man, yeah. You're so bold.
I said earlier that this movie wasn't referencing the blob, but it actually just wasn't when it comes to the saucers. It was when it comes to the whole, all hope is lost. What are we going to do? The world's definitely going to be destroyed. Oh, wait, this surprising fix is going to just...
Yeah.
This surprising tool is going to fix everything. And in one movie, it's cold. And in the other movie, it's groove. So, you know.
Yeah, I guess it is a Deus Ex Machina kind of thing. Once again, it comes in the last second. But it makes more, they set it up a little bit better for me. Because she does play the song earlier and she loves her songs. And she's like, my music. Also, Sydney, thoughts on the taxidermy cat?
Oh my God, I loved it. It does make me upset. At the beginning of this year, we went to Colonial Williamsburg and we stopped on the way to like some, you know, historical town in Virginia, and they had a taxidermied cat, and I'm devastated that I did not purchase it. I think about it quite often. And this,
I'm sure there will be more.
And that's her cat. Like, that's her kitty that she got taxidermied. And, like, as a person who briefly considered taxidermying BB, I was like, man, maybe I should have done it. But I'm glad I didn't. It's also incredibly expensive. I don't know. You know.
Cost prohibitive.
Yeah, it's...
Cloning is incredibly expensive. So I've looked into getting like the bones remade into like a skeleton.
Oh yeah.
Thing. And so
rearticulated.
It's a little bit cheaper than taxidermy.
Yes.
But sure. I think I'm gonna do
I found a site that does both.
Yeah, I think when
friend of the pod, Rebecca, sent it to me.
When my beloved ladybug passes, which she's never allowed to die. So
she's not gonna die. She's not going to die, so you don't have to even worry about it or finish the sentence.
But that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be a very pettable taxidermy cat.
Exactly.
So.
I would carry that with me at all times to be like, look at my cat. And they would be like.
Have her like rearticulated, but on like fishing line instead of hard wire. So you can wear her like a boa around your neck.
I'd do that when she's alive. Oh my God. She could be
that
a little
makes me
like
sick to my stomach.
A little marionette puppet. Just the bones.
Okay, we're going to places we shouldn't go. We are going beyond the realm.
Bad ideas of how to honor her one day.
She's never going to die, so it's fine. It's fine.
She's never going to die, so it's just die. Hypothetical, Monica.
Yeah,
she's
we're just
never
having
going
fun.
To die.
Just yeah, like just... Byron Williams, heavyweight champion of the world.
He can never die. Yeah, I love also the big giant gun that they were going to use on Grandma to just add to the insanity of that scene. Why? Why?
Did they hear the vibrations of the music and they knew it was a threat, but they thought they could, like, take her out before her headphones got unplugged? Or was it random?
I think they just randomly were having
like,
fun with it. They're little
bitch.
Fucking
yeah.
sadists. And they're like, oh, well, we'll try the big one on her. We haven't blown anybody up with that one. That'd be fun.
One random grandma,
right? We're gonna murder this little old lady.
It was fucked up, but the person in the wheelchair who had just got zapped, whose like burning body was flying across the hallway as Richie was going to run for his grandma, really hilarious. I'm sorry. It's all the little details in this that really send me to another planet.
They had great details. Like, they just, you know, I loved all of the little experiments they were doing in their spaceship just for kicks. They obviously did the whole thing with SJP's head on little dog body and Pierce Brosnan's bits all separated from each other. But they also had Michael J. Fox's hand in there when it was, like, walking around, you know? They were just having a good time. They referenced Alien. Aliens, from 2 weeks ago, when they finally met with the president again in the war room, and they tricked him fucking again, being like, oh my
He's
God,
so
your
dumb.
Speech has really moved us, like, singular tear, do you want to do a handshake? But then the hand, like, crawls away, and it has a tentacle, and then it, like, pierces the tentacle through
yes,
his body, just
that
like,
is aliens.
Alien Queen. Yeah, with Bishop.
Damn. Great call. Great catch. And he's so dumb. He went full politician on him. He was like, the power of my words will sway them to drop their arms and join hands in a peaceful handshake. No, no.
He watched too many of his own fireside chats.
He drank his own Kool-Aid. Yeah, that was hilarious when he was literally sitting next to a fireplace to tell everyone about the aliens.
He's like, hello, Americans. We are creating a memory today.
Oh, and when he gives his other speech when he's not ready and he says nothing, he says, like, he says words, but they have absolutely no meaning at all. That was also very on the nose for political speeches. Like, how beautifully that you said not one thing that made any intelligible sense.
That's what you're meant to do, to show that you have leadership potential, but not mm-hmm. alienate any potential supporters. Because if that you say so something, true. People can disagree with it. And yeah, then you, gotta strike you that just balance. Lost a voter, am I right? You gotta say nothing.
You're so right. Yeah, just fucking backpedal. Just fucking float. You know, we're not going forward. We're not going backward. We're staying in the same place. Oh, my God. Okay. What else? What else is of note here? There's many things.
Danny DeVito was great and kind of a short-lived role. Like, he popped up a couple of times for memorable lines, but...
He was in it a minute and a half.
A minute and well, it was a very that. Memorable minute and a half.
He had don't you six want, lines. Do you want
my Rolex? So funny.
He had six lines, but it was like every time he had a line, the camera was like, forget everybody else. Just look at Danny DeVito.
Is anybody else playing craps here? I was one of them. And it was like, no, everybody else is learning about the world ending, Danny.
Yeah, I mean, they just did a lot of things that were really fun. They did a lot of things just for fun. But the only thing that was, like, missing for me is that I really thought that, what are their names? Cyrus and E, something with an E, the two teenage boys.
No.
Oh, yeah.
They are, Byron's children.
No. They are, it's a Harry Potter reference. It's Neville and Cedric.
Is no it way. Harry Potter reference? Oh.
Cedric no. Diggory and okay. Neville Longbottom? Are you kidding me?
I know Cedric Diggory and Neville Longbottom, but...
No, I don't think I it's a Harry Potter reference. Was... I just...
Oh. Like, I was like, what? Okay, because I was Googling and there is like two wrestlers and one... But this is from 2017, so that probably is not...
Oh relevant. My God, I mean, that was Ray J.
Too.
Cedric was Ray J.
Oh my God.
Brandy's that's Ray J.
Kim Kardashian sex tape fame.
Yeah, oh I mean, there's got to be only the one Ray J. Wow.
There is only one.
Wow.
More you know.
The Neville was Brandon Hammond. I don't know who that is, but maybe I'll somehow be shocked right now too.
This movie never seems to disappoint. With the things that we find,
everything is important all the time. Wow, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm feeling a lot of things right now. I can't believe that's fucking Ray J. That's baby damn. Ray J.
Anyway, they were like having their whole thing. They were on the tour in the White House. They were getting separated from the group. They picked up the guns, and then like at the same time, Natalie Portman Taffy was getting separated, and I thought like they were gonna have their plot lines like. Interact and they were gonna save Taffy and there was maybe gonna be a romance there, but instead they saved the president and then she had the romance with Richie later.
Yeah, I felt like that felt like there was a deleted scene there that we didn't see more of them.
Yeah, because Taffy just like disappears.
Yeah, I was like, did she die and I forgot? But she did not. Then I found out she was alive because she came at the end.
Yeah.
I'll look for deleted scenes. I'll post them later if I find them.
The second part of this movie was just like a bunch of shenanigans. And like, it could have been plot, you know, like, but who needs plot? We were having fun shenanigans. But like, there could have been a plot if they wanted to.
It's
not that kind of movie.
Yeah, it was a lot of just montage moments. I was pleasantly surprised to see so many different shots to like different parts of the world and different cultures. I thought that was like an interesting inclusion. I don't know that it was like that they did the best job because I don't know, that's not my business, but it seemed nice, it seemed good. And I thought it was like an interesting perspective, but then also they're just like being silly and they're just like Byron Williams is punching an alien and the other lady is in her like little skimpy cocktail waitress rhinestone outfit and they're running away and they're like Tom Jones, do you know how to fly a plane? And they're like, there's just so much happening everywhere.
Yeah I don't know, I feel like for me, the like chaos of the second half was just like hilarious and perfect because this movie is just like it doesn't have a point except for fun times and an all-star cast and to be funny. Yeah, and I love that the aliens are like fucking practical jokers. They're the Martians. They're such little douchebags. I loved it when they exploded.
I loved when the little like blowing up of the Taj Mahal and they're like moving the spaceship. I also loved them inside the spaceship getting in to like get suited up and a machine just goes clamp and then they're wearing a little suit.
That was so good. Dressed. Also, I love that their CGI, and then the second that they die, it's like a practical effects dummy. I love shit like that.
Part off for dissection. Yeah,
when they do the dissection part, like it's a dummy. And like in they like pick up one of them and they like, no, we can't do CGI with a guy in it. We gotta have that be a dummy. Like it just, I don't know. I love the little quirks of it. It makes it more wholesome to me.
A lot of people die in this movie. Jack Black goes so fast, Glenn Close, Jack Nicholson, etc. Like the body count is off the charts. But I loved just like as the ship is going down and SJPZ and Pierce Brosnan's heads are just like rolling together and you're like rooting for them and they've got the romance and then finally they get to kiss and then the ship like sinks into the ocean.
With the sunset in the background, mm-hmm. I believe. That was the greatest romance of our time.
But you want to know moment. What Fuck was the actual best part about that?
Okay, Tell me.
You see in the background, you have Sarah Jessica Parker head, dog body, but they also is Sarah Jessica Parker body, Chihuahua head.
Yeah,
and so they're like good.
Fighting with the like aliens.
Throttling.
Like
yeah.
Barking.
I love that is Poppy controlling Sarah Jessica Parker's body and that Poppy's calling the shots. Like Poppy's not sitting at the little table anymore hearing Michael J. Fox tell her to shut up before Sarah Jessica Parker asks her nicely to be quiet. Poppy is out here running around using her thumbs to grab someone and shake them.
She is so powerful. I love that she can immediately handle all of Sarah Jessica Parker's body. Like she's just like, this is what I was meant to be. I was meant to have a large woman's body. This dog head belongs right here on SJP's body. And it's a beautiful look. It was really a nice look to see the little tiny head.
Yeah.
I think I saw it on the internet, so who knows if it's actually true. But okay. Poppy is Lisa Marie's IRL dog.
Aww.
Love.
Poppy is star.
That's so funny.
I wonder if Poppy's part of the cast list.
I don't know. I didn't see her. I was too distracted by Ray J.
You know how sometimes they'll include the dog on IMDb?
I love when
Where's
they do that.
Poppy? Oh, she doesn't get credited here. Maybe that means she really is Lisa Marie's dog.
Well, she wasn't acting.
Yeah, because I feel
she
like if it was an actor dog, they'd be like, you're going to credit me.
Yeah, then their owner would be like, can you please say Barky the dog, please?
Yes, thank you. This is very important for my dog's career, which is important. Animal actors are important. Okay.
Animal actors are important.
I want to go on the record saying I support animal actors if they want to do it. You know what I mean? But okay, do we have any more thoughts about the film before we move into segments?
Yes, I thought that I did like the Richie Taffy romance. I will say that I thought it was going to be with one of the boys, but I liked it with Richie. It was cute. And then I really liked the way that the film ends with just like the animals coming out of the rubble, everybody right. peeking their head out to see things are safe.
So
Barbara and fucking Tom Jones and other lady are coming out, and then Tom Jones like puts his arm out, and then a hawk comes down, and then
that
it
was
hits
the
fucking
smashed funniest
head.
Thing.
It's not unusual, and it just. What a way to go out on the film.
It was a perfect ending. I love him. He's like, not only is he an incredible performer, singer, dancer, great in an emergency situation, can fly a plane, but he also has trained the wild birds. He's also got good bird vibes. And so the birds immediately trust him. He's one with nature.
What can't he do?
He's our man.
If Tom can't do it, no one can.
That's it. That's it. All right, it's time to get into it. Our segments. How could this movie, God damn it, how could this movie be gayer?
You know, Sarah Jessica Parker, definitely bisexual. I just think based on the way that she sits at the table and her little bob and her fun, colorful outfits, like that's what it's giving to me.
Mm-hmm. We do have that one problematically positioned genderqueer person in this movie, but how wonderful in the 90s to have a joke about genderqueer people. Wow, shocking. Almost a pro.
In the 90s to have a visibly genderqueer person, maybe, if we want to look at it that way.
No, I know. I was going to say, like, it's almost a good thing, but it's not.
Despite that, there is that whole focus on the aliens where Pierce Brosnan says, like, the most puzzling thing is that they don't have genitals or whatever. And they specifically are like, these are different than us and our quote unquote two biological sexes. Like, they've got something different going on. I'm interested in them. But I think we can count that as outside of our heterosexual society. You know what I mean? They're definitely doing something different. So that's queer.
They're queer by nature. Yes, I would agree.
Who else? I think
Poppy is a queer icon, and you can't tell me.
Poppy is a queer icon. Yeah, I agree.
Like, especially at the end when she's wearing the cute little chrome outfit of Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah. I feel like Grandma has some stories from back in the day.
Oh yeah,
and but she's they giving them were to herself besties. These days. They were besties. They were roommates. They were et cetera. Yeah, I mean, we don't, tragically, we don't have access to her stories anymore because, you know, she's getting older and she's only even recognizing her grandchild some of the time, even though she says he's the best of them all, which I loved.
Thomas,
but
that's not my name, Grandma.
She's forgotten a lot more lesbian experiences than most other people have had.
Definitely.
We love that for her.
I agree. I get the vibe from her fully and surely. Okay. Any other gay thoughts?
Let me see. Did I have any other gay thoughts? No, I don't think so. Oh, I did like, this isn't gay exactly. Well, maybe, who can say? Lisa Marie alien coming into the room with her hand outstretched like that so her little eyeball ring could scan the room. That was feeling a little camp to me, and so I will lump it in here.
Well, yeah, her wrist did wrist. Say.
Yeah. She had the wrist.
The way it, like, snaked into the presidential bedroom as well was fun. Ooh.
I think not the other Jack Nicholson character. I don't know his name. Las Vegas.
The Vegas
Jack
one?
Nicholson.
Yeah.
It's like Art Lund or something like that. Art
Has
Lund.
Vegas Jack definitely been with a man before.
I think if you got both Jack Nicholsons in a room, they would be with a man right that instant.
They would want to explore each other's bodies for sure.
Yeah.
For I like sure.
That. I also love a man who's interested in many different toupees. Mm-hmm. I respect that. And so I loved that about him, that he switched his hair all around.
It's a fun accessory.
Hair was attached to the hat. I particularly liked that. It's effective, honestly. Don't need a wig cap then. Okay, well, it's time to ask, where would Matthew Lillard fit into this film?
I think he'd be a good Richie, but also he would have been good as Jack Black.
Yes. He would have
I'd like to see him, making out with Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God. She's in it for 5 seconds. She has that brief sex scene, and she dies while being watched by the horny aliens. That's fun.
Which is crazy, because Married with Children started in 1987, so that show had been out for, like, 10 years, and she was a main star on it, so. but then like the blink and you miss it. It was just too action packed in this film. Yeah, there are just too many people.
It was really pissing me off because when she has her like one other scene, when they're saying goodbye to Jack Black, they like won't show her fucking face.
Yeah, you don't.
They like
see
show her back like 1,000 times, and her back looked incredible. I mean, she looked amazing in those pants. But like, I was like, show that's fucking Christina Applegate. Like, show her goddamn face, my god.
Show Christina Applegate. Really, yeah,
yeah. I was like, come on, just fucking do it. And they wouldn't do it. I was like yelling at the TV.
Give the people what they want, Christina Applegate.
Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else could he have been?
Tom Jones. For sure. No.
Oh, yeah.
No one could replace Tom Jones.
He plays Tom Jones. Yeah.
He would be a great young Tom Jones. Yeah. He could have been the Secret Service guy who was the main Secret Service guy.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been fun.
He could have been Martin Short's character, too.
Oh, he would have been great as Martin Short's character.
I would love to see him pick up a space prostitute.
Yeah. He really God, Martin Short is so good at being like predatorily horny, like wrongly horny, slimy horny, just disgusting.
And you still love
like,
him.
I buy it that he's driving around looking for ladies to pick up, bring them back to the White House to impress them.
Yep. He's done that Kennedy room thing a million times.
He's breaching security every single night to bring home some hottie and sleigh poon.
Yeah. He should have been Dollar part of the pussy poon. Posse.
He should have been part of the pussy posse.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Leonardo pussy. DiCaprio. DiCaprio. What were you thinking?
Make an edit.
Reverse. Okay, reverse.
I think those are some good spots for him, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Richie, that guy was so sweet as Richie that I don't know where I would want him to be because I wouldn't want to replace any of these people, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure we can find a spot for him.
Yeah. He'll still be
he
around.
He could have
he'll
one of those little blink and you miss it roles. He could have gotten like a good alien death. Oh, he could have been. This was a scene I loved. I loved when Neville and Cedric came home and the alien was on their bed and then they just like push it and then the camera falls away and like you see the whole other wall of their bedroom where you thought you just couldn't see it because the camera was there. That wall doesn't exist and the alien tumbles down to the ground. And Matthew Lillard could have been one of the other people in that apartment building, maybe.
Yeah, just a little cameo. Mm-hmm. Hot off
just
his,
like, is that Matthew Lillard?
Scream fame, you know.
If they're doing it to Christina Applegate,
they can do it with Maddie. Yeah. Okay. Well, does that bring us to our dumb bitch?
I think it does, but I don't have one singular strong nomination. But
it's an ensemble cast, so it makes sense that we'd have an ensemble dumb bitch. You know
what
I mean?
It's Congress.
It's Congress, but it's also the president, but it's also the professor. But it's also Martin Short.
It's not the professor. He's too beautiful.
You can be beautiful and stupid, unfortunately.
I know. Who would know that better than the three of us?
The three beautiful,
beautiful idiots.
That's literally our whole brand, Chelsea.
Yeah, it's literally our whole thing. So, yeah, I get that. But we can do no wrong, so neither can Pierce Brosnan.
We would never be the dumb bitches, therefore he can't be the dumb bitch.
Exactly. You see what you're picking up my logic here, my stream here. Yeah, you got it. I feel like it's the president the most, but also, you know, he does not act alone. Martin Short.
The US government, maybe?
The U.S. government. It's how many of the movies in the last month have been, the dumb bitch has been the U.S. government. No, it's been like this summer.
I think, Sydney, what are you going to say? Because I'm predicting it, but I don't want to say it for you.
I was going to say the aliens for shooting Rusty the dog.
Oh, that's not what I was going to say, but that is rude of them.
They shouldn't have done that. They're really.
I was going to say, yes, the U.S. government is dumb bitch in this movie, like it has been multiple times this summer, but also the French government is dumb too because Maurice sees America get exploded and is like, no, it was just a misunderstanding. We actually did peace talks. So like governments left and right are done bitching it up in this film.
They actually wouldn't do it to us.
I think, unfortunately, the answer is humankind is the dumb
bitch. Humanity. Humanity. It's just like Barbara said in the beginning. We're taking advantage of the earth, blah, blah, blah. We're capitalism, greed, etc. She called it out. And then the world was almost destroyed as we knew it.
Oh, the humanities.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. It's humankind. All right, that brings us to our knives out of fives. So what do you mean this was a flop? I am aghast. I am furious. Rage, rage, rage. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to preamble a little that I don't really research like how the movie was received when it came out, just for the record. Like the only information I have is IMDb rating and Rotten Tomatoes. And then I just kind of speculate. Yeah, and then sometimes you go, what? That's crazy. I thought it did really well at the box office. And then I go, oh, well, that's not really my business. But Sydney said earlier that it was kind of a box office flop. And I think the numbers do support that. On IMDb, this movie got a 6.4 out of 10. So not terrible, but really not great. And then it did worse on Rotten Tomatoes. So it got 56% rotten from critics on Rotten Tomatoes and 53% rotten from audiences on Rotten Tomatoes. But do you know what it did get? It did get a little critical acclaim at the 1997 MTV Movie Awards, where it was nominated for Best Fight between Byron Williams, Heavyweight Champion of the World, and The Alien. So
amazing.
Good.
What better honor could you really want?
No,
I don't think they won, but they did get nominated, and that's actually the better honor than winning, I think, probably.
It's a great honor. It's a great honor. Byron deserves that.
It's like how you don't want to win America's Next Top Model or American Idol, because then you're like locked into like maybe a slightly predatory contract. Yeah, you want to come in second place so that you have your choice of contracts after the show ends.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing.
Well, I'm going to kick it off. 5 out of 5 knives. 5 out of 5 knives. There, I wouldn't change a thing. Okay, maybe we could do without the like several racially charged and like transphobic maybe comments. Let's do without those. But other than that, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's perfect. Everyone slaps. Every person you've ever heard of is in this movie. Every single one. There's not one person that exists that's not in this film. Ask another question. Ray J. Ray J's in it.
Ray J is
fucking in it. Are you kidding me? There's no one else.
Ray J has a bigger role than Jack Black and Christina Applegate.
He does. Oh my God. And I don't know. I was just laughing my ass off the whole time. It's so funny. The jokes are smart and dumb at the same time. Perfect for me. Perfect. I wish there were more practical effects. I would like, it would be like 6 knives out of 5 if they had done the fucking claymation stop motion. That would have changed my life. That would have changed everything for me. But we can't have it all. And we got stupid CGI instead, and that's fine. But yeah, I love this movie so much. It gave me Indian Love Call by Slim Whitman, which just listen to that song and think about it. Think about how weird of a song it is. It's so beautiful. There's many weird yodel songs like that out there for you if you are so interested. This is a gateway drug into oldie time Western songs. And let me say to you that you should enter that void. It is great. Join me there. Anyway, 5 out of 5.
I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5. I wish it was just like a little bit shorter. And like,
I do feel that
a smidge more plot.
Yeah, it was like an hour 40, an hour 45. And it was a lot of just explosions for much of that movie. So they could have trimmed that a little. They could have used that time to do something beyond the explosions. But I totally hear you.
But I still have a great time. It's fun to rewatch. It's so good. I can't wait to show my future children this one day and be like, this is the kind of shit that your grandparents let me watch as a child, and that's why I have brain rot. Okay, like,
and that's what I'm doing to you right now.
I will rot their brain with this for sure. 100% first moment
brain rot.
Yeah, I'm feeling the 4 knives out of 5, though. I think that's just about where I am, too. Because, like Sydney said, could be a little shorter, could have a little more going on, but it is a lot of fun. It is, Monica said that, I think. Like, it really just, the point of the movie is not to say something so much as it is to just be fun. I do think they have fun poking at the American government and the American government process. And like they walk through Congress and the guy addresses them as like ladies and gentlemen, but you maybe see like one lady maybe, and it's like, she's really easy to miss. Yeah. And then they have the government going straight to nukes, but also being like, oh, I don't know. And then them being like, oh, fucking liberals. And like, I just think they were having a good time. I loved the moment. When they slap down the newspapers, and the first one is like the New York Tribune, and it looks like a very nice headline. And then the next one is the New York Post, and it's just like, Martians! And it just shouts at you.
So funny. And I love that SJP was reading the New York Post one, and Michael J. Fox was reading the other one.
Yes. I just love their little rivalry and stuff, also. I just think the Nancy Reagan chandelier joke. They were just having a lot of fun in this movie, and I had a lot of fun watching this movie. So I think 4 knives out of 5 is a great place to be.
That's beautiful. Oh, okay. Well, that's it for Mars Attacks, but you can watch it every day of your life. Like maybe I will. You could definitely listen to Indian Love Call by Slim Whitman every day of your life. So
you should do that.
You should do that. I'm going to listen to it immediately after we finish recording. But Alien Week continues next week, and we are doing a Monica origin story movie. This is a movie that we all went on Ken Sledge's what is it called, Sledgehammer Horror, his podcast on YouTube, and shared our first horror movies. And my very first horror movie was Signs by M. Night, and I'm not gonna say
Shyamalama.
I don't have it pulled up, what a star.
So I don't want to mess it up right now. But Signs is one of my all-time favorite movies. I've rewatched it a bunch of times. It's not nearly as scary as I thought it was when I saw it when I was a child, but it is an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited to do Signs 2, because when we were talking to you last week, we promised Little Green Men. We've given you the Little Men on this one, and now we got to give you the green guys on our next episode.
Oh yeah, I have special earrings for next episode, and I'm really excited to wear them. Also, I thought when you said that, you said I'm excited for Signs 2, and I was like, Signs 2? We're not doing Signs 2? Like, the was thought of Signs 2? No, signs, the thought of Signs 2 is like a fucking abomination. It's an abominable thought. That makes me so filled with
rage. You thought there were signs the first time. Wait until you see more signs this time.
More signs. You saw those crop circles? You won't believe your eyes. But yeah, this is like the OG spooky movie of my life. This started me on my alien journey that has brought me to this point where I'm wearing these glasses upside down and I look like a fucking idiot. So it's very formative. So yeah, thank you again, Chelsea, for creating Alien Month just so I can do science. That's not welcome. Why you chose it, but that's why.
That's why I put it on there to convince you.
You. Yeah.
That's how she hooked Monica.
How do I get Monica this in is how on this she idea?
Manipulated me into doing
and
this.
I
would have been down already. I would have been down already. You know that I would have been down already. But anyway, so a lot of exciting things to come. But now it's time to talk about what our poll question is. We have to make it up right now.
Some thoughts on it. Would you rather be a tiny dog head on a sexy lady body or a sexy lady head on a tiny dog body?
That's so good.
That's a great one.
That's perfect. Done in one. Amazing. That's really good. It really gets you thinking. So
the commentary question where you can open response can be ak 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 ak
ak ak ak ak ak ak.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can respond in whatever way you see fit. Of course, only in the language of the Martians.
Yes, yes.
Or if you want to write in what that meant, what the question you think we are asking is as your response, that's a good one too. You can do your translation of the Martian language. But also, you could just write ack in a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts as well. And we would really like to see that. You could be even saying something mean as long as it's 5-star review.
As long as it's ack.
We'll never know. You can get out some aggression you have towards us in a language we'll never understand, but still it has to be with a 5-star review. That's the whole thing. Also, we're still so close to 100 ratings on Spotify, so get us there, come on. Also follow us on social media. We're at @spooky_Tuesday on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, and we're getting up there with YouTube subscribers too, so please subscribe if you haven't already. Do it for me. And also, we are on Tumblr and Facebook. I forgot what Facebook was called for a second. Actually, Meta.
It's called Meta.
Yeah, that's called Meta. And it's Spooky Tuesday Pod. What if I started calling Twitter X? What if I did that?
Yeah, we're on going X to. Now. Yeah.
Yeah, we're on X now.
Blaze
no, I would
your
never,
glory.
No.
What did he say? Was that?
I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know. That sounds horrible.
No more information, please. Yeah.
No. We're also on Letterboxd at Spooky Tuesday. And as I always say, thank you for listening. See you next Tuesday.
Bye, spookies.
I want the people to know that they still have 2 out of 3 branches of the government working for them, and that ain't bad.
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamra Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at Captain Tamra. And our podcast art is by Mary Murphy, who you can find on Instagram at @the_moon_OMG.